I have a rule. It's a very simple one. If someone asks, "Pastor, pray for me," I do it. You might want to argue, "Well, Pastor, that's a professional obligation." Perhaps it is, but we know the track record on clergy is not really good on any number of fronts because clergy are human. And I have been far from perfect. That's all the confession you're going to get. But as I have matured in years and faith, if you ask me to pray for you, I will, because I think it makes a supreme difference. Each of us deserves to know that as your clergy, you are valued so much that I'm willing to spend time holding you in prayer, period, no add-ons. What difference does it make? I've never cured cancer, to the best of my knowledge, with any of my prayers, but I have prayed for people to be healed. And though many have died from diseases, I know that they died healed people, whole people, deeply loved people. Most of us here will remember Matthew Shepherd. We didn't really know Matthew in advance of his cruel death, tortured and left to die on that lonely country road near Laramie, Wyoming, back, interestingly, on October 6th, 1998. But I'm guessing that our thoughts and prayers were with him and his family and his mother's journey against homophobic hate. Her journey continues. How long has it been? About 19 years. And it has often been painful, but it has had its high points, her journey. She fought hard and helped define speech by speech, one appearance after another, for the better part of a decade, resulting in October 2009, the United States Congress passed the Matthew Shepherd and James Byrd Jr. Hate Crimes Prevention Act, and President Obama signed it into legislation. Not long later, in a relatively short number of years, on July 9, 2015, we saw the United States Supreme Court affirm marriage equality, and our church here and many others around this town and down the steps of the clerk's office was awash with joy and celebration. We prayed for years, and many of us did not think that we would live long enough to see it, and yet our hearts and minds were changed in the midst of horrible persecution and hatred and death. Still, change happened because faith and hard work led to a formal recognition in the midst of the ugly opposition. And there was a lot of then, and there still is a lot of ugly opposition, but we changed dramatically, honestly, in a relatively short period of time, never fast enough. Prayers of thanks and prayers of continued anxiousness are still very coveted and necessary. The battle as we approach National Coming Out Day next week has shifted, but still it is a battle. For those who are still struggling anywhere in that spectrum of LGBTQPAI+ continuum of sexuality, who must come out either still to themselves or to their parents and friends and loved ones, I hope everyone here has thoughts and prayers for them, as well as sensitive presence to assist them in their journey out of the closet. You might ask, well, for how much longer? This is probably going to go on for a very long time. It's still not easy to come out of the closet. This past week has seen about 250 million uses of the phrase, our thoughts and prayers, in regard to the not so masked old white straight man anger, masking itself in what is now being called the largest mass shooting in recent American history in Las Vegas last Sunday evening. In our 24/7, 365 news cycle, I read, or see proclaimed on CNN and every other news outlet the question, why? What was his motive? You know, perhaps he was just a 64-year-old wealthy white guy who saw his way of life and his life coming to an end, was angry about it all, had the means to do it, and did it. He was probably something of a control freak. Do we have any control freaks here? Don't hold up your hand. End of life. It's not easy for control-oriented personalities, because nearly all the time, how and when we die is just like out of our control unless we do something like he did. There are times as a 63-year-old white guy that I'm angry about my life coming closer to death. In what mental and spiritual acuity I have left, I have a tendency to focus on today rather than tomorrow that I cannot control much. I have a tendency to have a great joy in so many aspects of my past that I do not see my present and future as empty and blank, as I suspect the shooter in Las Vegas did experience his present and past. He took extreme control of ending his life and those of others. So I hope you are joining me today, not only in absolute horror, anger, and resignation, but that you are as well offering prayers and thoughts and actually praying. Because I think that the only thing that will sustain us in the months and the years ahead will be our relationship with God and with each other. Prayer remains a significant relationship builder with the holy, with the divine, with that great love that permeates all of reality, and it is luring us forward this way, please, even in the midst of such tragedy. Please remember with me that prayer is not sufficient alone. Faith without works is still deader than a doornail. Images of the violence in Las Vegas have been horrible, and I have despaired of whether there really is any alternative. And I stand in a pulpit with a sword in the front, right? There's still a sword there, right? Pointed at me, right? There's a sword. Yeah, it's there. It's pointed at me. No, I know. I stand in front of a cross that reminds us of an act of violence, crucifixion. We read the Gospels and the early followers of Jesus after his death. They felt that there was no way forward. Remember those early hours after Jesus' death? They felt that it was all over. They were lost. They were locked away in a room. And so they decided, we're just going to have to go home and return to fishing or collecting taxes for Big Brother. But then all of a sudden, it's not the same anymore. Their despair changed, and rather than return violence for violence, in the cross of Jesus, God seems to be able to absorb all the violence that we are able to perpetrate on this planet. And still God responds not with vengeance, but with life, with resurrection, with Jesus' triumph over death, and offering not retribution, but peace. The church that has followed the way of Jesus has thought of the death of Jesus in some insidiously evil ways that have made God seem anything but a God of mercy, compassion, and justice. Regardless of doctrine, however, please note that God does not, after Jesus' violent death, return with vengeance. He does not kick anyone out of the kingdom of heaven. Instead, the resurrected Jesus, having taken on the worst, if you will, that our violence can inflict, comes back and instructs the disciples to take the good news to the very ends of the earth, promising to be with us always. And for me, this week, the good news means, in part, that violence does not and will not have the last word. That the only response to violence is not more violence. That tragedy and death and loss and hatred are, in the end, no match still for love and life and forgiveness and peace. We may never know what motivated the dude in Las Vegas that did the shooting. There's a lot of work to do to take action on policies and procedures that will make all of us safer from gun violence and other forms of terrorism. But in the meantime, we have the promise that even when it looks like violence is the only outcome and response possible, it's just not. Maybe at times it's all our leaders can imagine, and perhaps all we can imagine too. But there is another way forward. Jesus, violently, horribly treated, assassinated. He was assassinated like was his cousin John. But Jesus' death ended up in resurrection, and his resurrection has, if you will, created possibilities more than we can see, including the possibility of peace and new life beyond anything we could have imagined before the Las Vegas shooting. And Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled." Oh, darn. "Do not let them be afraid. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Rejoice with those who weep. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are." I'll hold a mirror up for that one, okay? "Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." I do not think all of that stuff that Jesus said will erase our grief or lessen our call to act to make such atrocities less likely. But it does, in the meantime, I think, offer us hope. And hope is the birthplace of faithful action, compassion, and resolve. It is not violence that creates the change. It is hope that creates change. How long must we wait? It was a question Dr. King raised, because he was often asked, "How long will it take for us to be free in our own land? To be able to be stopped by a police officer without fear of unjust power being used against us? How long? How long? How long before we raise up as a people and demand safety that guns will never provide, but that is possible as other countries have shown? How long?" Matthew Shepard hung there, and I fear that he wondered longer than I care to imagine. How long before I die? How long, I wonder, before we raise the consciousness of our state, the other states, and indeed the nation? Matthew Shepard surely rejoices today that for the many, many major steps towards equality that have been taken after his death. Not because of his death, but they came after his death because in our hope we raised ourselves up and we met other people and we changed our part of the world. So much is yet to be done on so many fronts. How long? As long as it takes. Because we will love each other, we will comfort the grieving, we will bury our dead, and we will rise up still as if on eagle's wings with lovingness and press forward, because we are lured there. We are lured there by the way of Jesus. King ended his speech down in Selma this way. He said, "Like an idea whose time has come, not even the marching of mighty armies can halt us. We are moving to the land of freedom." In a call and response section followed the end and gave the speech its informal title. He asked, "How long?" Not long, because no lie can live forever. How long? Not long, because you shall reap what you sow. How long? Not long. How long? Not long, because the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends towards justice. We grieve this morning, But still we march forward again, because it is a way of the people of God.